So Romans chapter 10 in verse 9 and 10 is what we're going to start off reading. And it says this, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. Now, this passage of scripture is a scripture that we use as believers when we are sharing the gospel with somebody, sharing the good news with somebody, that in order for someone to be saved, we use this scripture because it helps us understand and it helps another person declare something in their mouth that's in their heart. And so this is what this passage is about. And you're like, what does that really have to do with the heart in that sense? Is that how many of you know that salvation doesn't start with what you say? Salvation starts with what's in your heart. And so I think for us to kind of finalize this sermon series, I believe that we have to go back to what started our whole journey with Jesus, right? We have this journey with Christ, and it started with you at one point in your life or today, whether you've never accepted Christ, not just confessing some words, but with believing in your heart. And I think that sometimes it's way easier to confess something outside and say it, but not really believe it. How many of you guys said something today, you said something, said I love you or whatever to somebody in here, you really didn't mean it, you were just like, that's a nice thing to do, right? If you're honest, there's times that even Thanksgiving weekend, there was things that, conversations that you had with people, that it was just words, there was no heart intact at all. I was like, I just got to get through this family thing, and I just got to fake it till I make it, and you do it, right? There is no heartfelt meaning to it. And I think that a lot of times we've kind of faked our way through Christianity, right? We've said a lot of things about God. I love you. You are my everything. I love you. And how many of you know that we can confess that all the days of our lives, but if it's not in our heart, it doesn't put God first place in our lives, right? And so. So what's the point of this passage of scripture is this, is that what starts in the heart has to be sustained in it. That in order for you to continue to grow in your journey with God, you have to be really careful with confessing something that you don't believe. You have to be careful with saying certain things about God and how much you love him and how much you really have this adoration for him that's really not in your heart. And so what I want us to move from is not such pretty words and not confessing things with great communication, but with our hearts being convicted of the love of God and us being drawn into that relationship because my heart is in it, right? And so a lot of times we try to do maintenance in our spiritual journey by the things that we confess, by our external actions. Well, if I'll come to church Sunday, I was really bad last week. So if I come to church on Sunday, and then if I give a really good tithe, or if I start serving in an area, we start using external actions to try to justify an issue in our hearts. And so God, what he's really saying is look, transformation, spiritual transformation doesn't even happen until you can actually mean it in your heart. And I want us to understand that God is really wanting us to have a heart for him, not some nice words for him. And in doing that, I begin to think about the whole process of our hearts. And you know, when somebody gets pregnant, one of the first things they do is they go to the doctor, and the doctor takes this awkward little machine, and they put this crazy jelly on the mom's belly, and they begin to do an ultrasound. And what do they do? They begin to what? Check for the heartbeat. They need to know if the baby that's in this mom, does it have a heartbeat? Because that is the initiation of life, right? And I believe that the Holy Spirit really needs to do that on us this morning, that we would allow him to check the beat of our heart. Because maybe our hearts are beating for something else and not him. And a lot of times what happens is we get caught up in kind of the traditions and the rituals of our faith instead of it being something that's devout and it's a relational thing. How many of you know that? Obviously, that's what the religious were really good at. They were really good at saying things, but not really meaning them, which we talked about last week. But I believe that as people who are believers, we should have a relationship, and that my relationship is contingent on my heart for you, right? If I really love you, it's not based on me saying I love you. It's based on you feeling my heart for you, right? And so God is wanting us to move into this place where we're not so much apt to begin to do external things to try to make up for our heart, but that we really put our heart in the hands of God and say, God, you know what's broken. And God, I want to ask you to help me be fixed. Because at the end of the day, all of us in here have some area in our heart that's broken. Some part of our heart that is maybe rooted or in somebody else's possession, per se. And God is wanting to ask us, can you give me back your heart? And that takes trust, that takes vulnerability, that takes us being willing to say, okay, God, I believe that you are for me and that you are going to touch my life, so I'm going to hand you over my heart. And you begin to move from external into internal, and you begin to say, God, go to work on my heart. And so one of the things that I want to mention is spiritual transformation. How many of you know that spiritual transformation, it begins and ends with what you believe in your heart, right? That, like, in other words, your spiritual growth, where you are today and where you're going to be next year, is not going to be about how many times you've gone to service. It's going to be about what you're believing in your heart, right? How many of you know Christmas, Hallmark, all these different Christmas movies, it's all about, do you believe in Christmas, the spirit of Christmas? And it's all about believing in, like, it's like an elf, right? As the more people that believe, right, then the Christmas barometer changes to where, oh my gosh, we are happy and everything's great. And I just wonder how many of us, like, in our believing factor for God, that he's really for you, that he really does see you as his beloved, that he really says, I'm fond of you, that I really adore you, that you are my son or my daughter. Because ultimately, you restrict your heart being in possession of God if you don't think he's for you, right? A lot of times what we do is we only give our hearts to who we think is for us. That's why when people say that's why Facebook and Instagram is a lie, because you can have 1,000 followers or 1,000,000 followers, and there are only a few that you would entrust your heart to, right? There are only a few that we entrust our hearts to, but some of those people we need to take it back from. And I think that it's so important to not allow our physical transformation, our spiritual transformation, to be something that we do physically, but we do spiritually, that we let Jesus go to work on our hearts. And there is no way for God to do a spiritual work on our hearts without some sense of pain or conviction or working in our lives. Because how many of you know that there is a process when somebody goes into a doctor and they say, well, looks like you're going to have heart surgery. The doctor, you can talk to the doctor all you want and say, hey, look, don't cause any pain. I don't want to have any pain at all. Well, you have two options. You can get your heart fixed, or you can not have pain. But you can't have both. And a lot of times we want to get our hearts right, we want to get our hearts fixed, but we don't have to go through the process to get there. And I think that that's so important. How many of you know that in the heart right now, the heart in our bodies, the physical one, that your size of body is based on your heart size? Like, you can't be 8 foot tall and have an infant size heart. Why? What would happen is your body would literally shut down because the size of your heart can't pump that amount of blood into the body. And I think understand that our spiritual transformation, you will never be more mature or spiritually mature than you are aware of the issues in your heart, the emotions that are going on in the inside of you, right? And so I think it's so important for us to say, okay, God, I'm not only going to confess, I am going to believe that you are for me. And so I want us to know, moving forward, I wanted to set this all up with that foundation, knowing that everything that's going to happen in your heart moving from this day forward is going to have to be, it's going to be sustained in internally by what you allow God to do in your heart. It's not going to be about external transformation, right? Now, if you would turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. And here I'm going to read a few verses, 19 through 24. And this is, I think, a really key component to our spiritual journey and the conditions of our heart. And we're going to start in verse 19, Matthew chapter 6. And this is Jesus talking. It's in red. It says, don't store up treasure here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroy them and where thieves break in and steal. It says, store your treasures in heaven where moth and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Then he goes on in verse 22 and it says, your eye is a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is good, your whole body is filled with the light. But when your eye is bad, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep the darkness is. And so it goes on and it talks about, it's basically saying that, look, you can think that what you're doing is right. You can think that the things that are in your heart are right. But if it's from the viewpoint of a bad vision, you know, if you don't have good clarity, you don't see what's really in your heart. And so your clarity is contingent on the light, right? Then here we could darken the room and you could say, hey, I could say, hey, hand me $100 bill. If it was really dark, you made me hand me $1 bill thinking it's 100 because you can't see. And there's a lot of things in our hearts that we aren't able to see because the light isn't real clear. And the only way you have clear light is by the Holy Spirit putting light on it, illuminating it, right? So it goes on, it says, this is where I really want to hit on it. It says, verse 24, no one can serve two masters. No one. I know a lot of us think, man, our heart, we can handle this. We can do this. I can love this person. I can love that person. And I can love God. And I can love my job. And I can love my friend. And I can love my dog. And I can love Taco Bell. And I can love. And we have all these loves going on. But the Bible, this is Jesus. I think if anybody knows about love, I think it would be him. And he says, no one can serve two masters. In other words, your loyalty becomes divided. You have a divided heart. So my love for my wife doesn't come from me. It comes from my relationship with God. And the more that I love God, the more I'm able to actually love her. And when you reverse those, then guess what? I only love her when she does something for me. And that's how I do it. But when it's God first, I'm able to love her contingent on how she treats me. Because my love doesn't come from what she's doing for me. It comes from him, and I'm able to give it to her. And so what happens is it becomes divided. You become living with a divided heart and trying to love 500 different things, but you really can only love one thing. So this is the byproduct of it. This is what happens. For you will hate one and love the other. So this is what happens is when we try to love two things with equal love, you begin to love one and then you begin to despise another. Perfect example. If you don't know, I like shoes. I have a few pair. And, you know, there's this love that I have for shoes, okay? It's an addiction. This is my confession. This is confession sermon series. And so what happens is I may get a pair that I love, but then I get a new pair that I love. Guess what? The old pair that I loved, I don't wear as much, and I begin to despise them, and what do? Then I begin to wear those out in the dirt, and I begin to do whatever I want with them. Oh, it's raining, I'll wear these. And what happens is your loyalty to the first pair of shoes begins to wane because you have a new pair of shoes. Can I get an amen? Right? And so that's what happens is this is what we do with God is that God is good until something better comes. And then it's like, oh, that girl, hey, how you doing? Or, you know, that job becomes, oh, but who provided that job? And it becomes, I love God until I get this new job, or I love this thing until this. And the point is that whatever you love, you can't love two of them the same. Like, you know, it's just not practical. This is what the Bible says. It says, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one. Devoted. That means commitment. That means devotion. That means like every day, all the time. Hey, girl, what you doing? That, you know, that relationship begins to build. Like there was a lot of things that I may have been chasing before I met Alicia, but whenever I met her, if I was going to marry her and pursue her, I had to become devoted to her. And I had to despise some other things, like selling my boat and selling my, I mean, she took everything from me. I'm just kidding. Yeah. Oh, man, you just got to let him go. Let him go. So you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon or money is what this is actually talking about. But I want you to know that you can't love two things. You can love everything through God, though. But a lot of times we try to love and divide our heart into 16 different things and characters and rooms, and you can only love things through God. Like, you realize that you're not going to love people more by how long you've been saved. You're going to love people more by how devoted you become in Him, and He gives you the ability to love those that you didn't think you could love. Right? We should, as believers, not be hating people more the longer we're saved. We should be loving people more the longer we've been saved. If you hate people more than when you first got saved, you have a heart issue. I know. I'm just the doctor. I'm just relaying the message. But you have a heart issue if you hate people now more than you did when you first started this relationship with Jesus. You have a heart issue. Because I should love people more now than I ever have, because I understand His love and His ability and what He's rescued me from and the grace that He's given me and the mercy that He's allowed me to walk in, that I understand, okay, like those people need the same grace that I got 6 months ago. Do you see what I'm saying? And so you begin to do that. And so what's my point? What is all of this about is this, is that what possesses your heart persuades your life. Like, whatever's persuading and influencing your heart is based on what's possessing your heart. Like, your heart didn't just like, I hate people. No, it's because there's something else possessing your heart, whether it's unforgiveness or bitterness or anger or jealousy or all these nasty other things, these emotions that we're feeling in anger. They disappointed me. They let me down. Look, all of that is actually what makes us. That's the byproduct of the condition of our heart, right? But the more that I love God, the more that He says, hey, Brian, you have a little bit of unforgiveness about that person. And so I have an option in that to let it become my master or to let my master take care of my unforgiveness. You have two options. You can't serve all of the people that are in your world, in your workplace, in your career, your family, your distant family, all the people that you're going to come in contact with over the week. You can't love them without God's love. And I know that it's like, yeah, I mean, I know that. But when is the last time that you let God in on your heart to help change and rearrange and redirect some things? Because however, whatever's persuading your life, like if you try to avoid people all the time and you blame it on being an introvert, there's an issue there. Because God created you to love people. It's in the Great Commission. He didn't say for all the extroverts, go into all the world. He said for all of us, go into the world, right? And so He did that based on He knows how powerful His love is. And He said, I'm going to send you in the love of God. And I know that you or your love will radically change people, right? Y'all always get the best stuff. The later service, sorry, that's just how it is. And so, you know, what you treasure, like what is really at the heart of you is what's keeping possession of your heart. I mean, have you ever had something and it's like you, I mean, Jaylee, if I give her something new, it's like you can't get it out of her hands. It's because this new thing possesses who she, I mean, she's like, I am not letting you have this. This is Play-Doh. I love it. And I'm like, I mean, she's like squeezing. It's like coming out of her hands. It's like, let me. But man, when something possesses you, sometimes you just won't let it go. And God is like, this is the thing I love about God and I hate about God. Is that he's a gentleman. And He lets you do what you want with the possessions you have in your hand. He says, man, you can have it if that's what you want, but I'm here waiting. I'm waiting for you. And you can continue to fight and try to fill that void with that possession in your heart. But I'm the one that you're looking for. And I want you to know that God is the one that you're looking for. That possession that you think is going to fix you isn't going to fix you. It's Him and Him alone that is going to fix you. And so understand that what's possessing you is based on the treasure that's in your heart. He said, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. You can't separate what you value and the condition of your heart. What you value is what you go after. It's what you spend your time and your energy going after, right? That's why it says where your treasure is, there your heart is. A lot of lot of people, I can hang out with someone real quick and I'll know what their heart is by the conversations, the things that they're bringing up. Oh my gosh, I got this new dog. And it's like, that's their treasure for that moment. But what's it going to be when it's pooping on the floor and peeing on the floor? It's like, there's going to be a new transition of treasure. I'm going to stay with a stuffed dog because that's quiet and it doesn't make noise. And you know what I mean? And so I think that we have to really be careful with the what we let consume our lives and what we let take over our hearts. You know, we didn't just get where we're at today just by chance. Like the condition of my heart where I'm at today, whether it's healthy or it's unhealthy, didn't just happen. It was over the course of time, and I let pain in or I let God in. And that's how I'm healthy or unhealthy. Like, God, I really feel this emotion. That if there's anything that I've become more aware of and I'm working on over the last 2 to 2.5 years is becoming more aware of my emotions and my feelings, because those have language. Those are speaking major things to me about what's in my heart and what ultimately ends up becoming in my life. And I think it's really important that if you would become cautious of what's going on internally, you would say, okay, God, like I had this feeling, I had this emotion, or whenever I saw that person, this is what I thought. And becoming more aware of that, you'll begin to see what God will begin to speak into your heart, right? You know, how many of you know that obedience is a huge thing when it comes to the heart? Like, what you're willing to do for God is based on how much you love God. Like, there are certain levels of obedience that I'm willing to get into with God. And at this point in my life and in my journey with God, there are certain areas that I'm not willing to go with for God. And God knows that. But God is preparing me and he's growing my faith to get to that place where I can trust him and believe in him. You know, there's this movie Grinch. If you've seen it, it's all about Grinch and Grinch stole Christmas. And he hates Christmas, but he doesn't really hate Christmas. He hates what happened to him at Christmas. And all these people begin to make fun of him, and it's in Whoville, and all these people, it's all about Christmas, and they begin to taunt him and make fun of him, and the whole point of it is that his heart shrank. And a jailer will watch, and she like, his heart got big. And the whole point is this, is that when you let God in, where it's areas that are small and things that you don't think that you can love in, when you let God in, he will enlarge your heart. And the Grinch won't steal Christmas, right? Because your heart is so for whatever God is that a lot of times we are trying to take something when God is actually trying to get us into that area to be able to change other things. And I think that we have to be really, really careful about us not being obedient, because obedience is based on my love for God or my love for whatever. And I never want to be more obedient to a person or a thing that I am Christ. But I will only be obedient to him at the level of my love for him. I remember when we were going to 2 services and God spoke to my heart in June, and I was like, he had been planting seeds in my heart for weeks and maybe a month that God, it was like getting close. And I was like, you know, when we were packed out and the services were full, and I was like, Lord, like we have so much momentum and all of this stuff. And it's like in that moment, I had to know that, is God really for me? If he's really for me, he's not going to tell me something that is going to hurt people. He's going to tell me something that's going to help people. And in that, it was in my obedience. And what my point is this, is that you will rarely see another level of what God can do in your life until you can obey him in the area of the now. That if you can obey him now, you'll be amazed at what he will show you in the future. All right. So there's a scripture that I want to read in Psalm 17, verse 3. And I want to ask you, maybe if you would even highlight this, or on your, if you've got a YouVersion or whatever, highlight this and put it in a note and read it over the next week. That you would take this scripture and you would say, okay, God, I'm going to pray this as a prayer every night before I go to bed or every morning that I wake up, and I'm going to challenge myself to this. And this is the scripture. This is what it says. It says, you have tested my thoughts and examined my heart in the night. You have scrutinized me and found nothing wrong. I am determined not to sin in what I say. And I think this is so important because understand that this psalm was written not on the fact that God just came in and bursted into his life and said, I'm going to test and I'm going to examine you. It was David at request saying, God, I want you to test me and I want you to examine me. And I think it's so important for us to go to God with the intention of knowing he loves me and saying, God, I want you to test my heart. I want you to examine what's really in me. And as you do that, there are things that the Holy Spirit's going to illuminate. And then there's going to be other things that God, he illuminates for the positive. And he's going to say, look where you've come from. But sometimes you can't know how much you've grown until you go to God and ask him to test. How many of you know that a test is based on that? What it does is it shows you if you've grown or not, right? When you take a test, it's like, oh, I failed that 16 times. I finally passed it, right? So when you finally pass that, you realize I'm growing in this area. And so why we ask God to test our hearts is like, man, that one person, they really know how to push my buttons. You know those button pushers? Anybody married to one or work with one or live with one? Yeah, it's fun, right? And how many of you know that when God goes to work on your heart, that's how you know if you're growing, is when that button gets pushed, it's like, oh, that actually didn't bother me. I'm growing. And examine my heart and God allow and show me where I can grow and where I'm growing. And that's an amazing thing. So now we close up with this passage of scripture in Ephesians 3, verse 17. And I want to highlight a few things in here, but the main version or verse that I want to hit on is verse 17. But I want to hit on 13 first and kind of work our way through this text because I think it's important to see how Paul is laying these things out. How many of you know that when things are in the Bible, they're laid out in a strategic order? Like it didn't just be like, oh, let's put Ephesians there and do chapter 3. And then everything is put in strategically. So the first part of 13, it says this, so please don't lose heart. And I think that if we're honest in here this morning, many of us have lost heart. We've lost heart due to circumstances, situations. We had a game plan. You and God, we have this game plan. This is what we're going to do. Whenever I graduate high school, I'm going to go to this college, and I'm going to get married to this girl, and we're going to have this many kids, and we're going to do this and this and this. And when all that doesn't work out, guess what happens? We lose heart. Because what happened is that, God, you didn't follow through with our game plan. But how many of you know that the Bible says that we make our own plans, but God directs our steps. And so I think it's important that we be really careful about the plans that we've set up in our own lives because we lose heart when we do that. Instead of being with God's heart, that now I'm in sync and I'm in line with God's heart. And that's where we should want to be. So verse 14, it goes on, it says, when I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from this glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand all of God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. And my question for you this morning is, I wonder how fully understanding do you have, the understanding of love that you have, that God has for you. Like, that there's this measurement that God is giving that, how wide, how long, how deep, how wide. And for many of us, we all have different measurements of God's love. Right? We base God's love based on what's happened to us or the things that we've had to go through. But maybe we should stop measuring God's love on the trials and the circumstances we face and measure it at the fact that he got on a cross for you. And the fact that he was willing to go put himself in hell and defeat hell, the death, and the grave, and take the keys of the kingdom and give them and put them in your hands. And when you think about that, that changes the circumstances and the trials and the things that you face, and it puts us back into perspective of God loved me so much that he gave his life for me. right? And so, you know, as I read this, it says, then Christ will make his home in your hearts. This is the whole reason of the sermon title, Welcome Home. Because I believe God is knocking at our door, the heart of our door, and he's saying, and you have an option in this moment to say, welcome home. And many of us, that's really hard to even open the door. You've looked through the peephole 100 times, and he's still there knocking. He still loves you. He's still waiting. And all you have to do is say, welcome home. And the point of all of that is this, is that what's permitted in your heart begins to lay down roots. And there are some things that are in our lives and they're so rooted in our hearts that the only way you're going to get rid of those things is by inviting God into your life and allowing him to take up residency in your heart. And I want to close with this question. And I want to ask, I should have had them put it up. But this question I think is really provoking for us as an individual. This is the question. I didn't write this, but I found this in a book that I've been reading. And I wanted you to ask yourself this question. And this is the question. It says, why are so many of us living lives with deeply entrenched parts of us untouched by the power and the mercy of Jesus? So why are so many of us living lives with deeply entrenched parts untouched by the power and the mercy of Jesus? And this is the answer to that question. The answer is this, is that we haven't given him access to those areas. And there are areas that are our emotions, our feelings, our things going on in our hearts that they are rooted. Like we are almost convinced of certain things. And it's not until we allow God in that he can begin to come and touch the untouched areas in our hearts. And if I'm honest, there are places in my life that I'm still asking God, God, I need you to touch that area. God, I need you to touch that area. God, I need you to... And the amazing thing about God is God doesn't just enter the house and just start looking through all your stuff. God knows you better than you know you, and he takes his time going through each room and saying, hey, are you ready to get rid of this? You ever seen the hoarder shows? That's what a lot of our hearts look like. But amazing, they always come in and they say, hey, can you let this go? And they say, no, I can't. They say, okay, we'll put this over here. Then they bring another thing. Hey, can you let go of this? Yeah, I can let go of that. And this is the thing I think that many of us need is that, look, if we want our hearts to enlarge, if we want our hearts to be in sync with God, then we have to allow him to know, look, if he's holding something up, he's not asking a question, really, do you want to get rid of it? He's really asking, you need to get rid of it, but will you let me get rid of it? And so there are things entrenched in our hearts and that we've said, no, those can't be touched. But when you let God in, that's where love is experienced. That's after that is when he says, and may you have the power to understand, right? And how many of you know that where roots are laid, that's where revelation comes. You will never know how much God loves you until you let him put roots in, right? And so then it goes on, it says, and may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep.